So I'm back at Wren Studios. Duran, tell us who you are and what you're playing.
Hello, my name is Duran Fulton-Brown and I play Hunter. I'd like to say thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So you're probably our action hero, if there is one for Wren, are you?
Am I the action hero per se? I get, I've been doing a lot of fighting. Yeah, so I guess probably I'm the character who fights the most. So I don't know if I'm the hero or I'm the rebellious young man who just likes to get into the mix, let's say.
Let's perhaps talk about yourself and the sorts of work you've done in the past.
It's been quite varied, actually. It's been a few years in the making. I've spent many years just travelling, I don't know, exploring the world. And I think for myself anyway, that experience and seeing certain things has certainly helped me to understand characters and understand people.
Well, you talked about character then. I mean, is that's something that's key to what you do as an actor? Is you're thinking about the character and what motivates them?
I think people are fascinating in themselves and everybody has motivations. And it plays out in so many different ways. The way someone walks, you know, the colour someone chooses to wear is a real reflection of their inner self, their motivation, what they're choosing to express to the outside world, how they're feeling. I spend a lot of time people watching. I just enjoy people. And maybe I'm guilty of not talking to enough people. But I think it's, for myself, I feel it's fascinating to watch people move around in a space and to guess what their story is. It's all fictional because this is stuff I'm coming up with myself. But over time, I think we all develop a skill of understanding certain, I'm going to say the word, lots of people are against it, the word stereotypes. And I think stereotypes are useful as long as you take the word as it is, and lots of people's connotation of the word stereotype is a negative thing. They feel it's people being pigeonholed and persecuted. Now, if you let go of all that, you know, preset notion of the word and get down to the bare bones of what stereotypes are, and we're all guilty of projecting our own stereotypes. I have a stereotype. I'm sure lots of people would look at me, see how I present myself, see how I move in the world, and give me a stereotype. And I think, especially for an actor, it's important to know what your stereotype is, or in the acting world, they like to call it cast type. And I think it's important to realise what that is and use it as a tool and not to see it as something that's negative. If you look a certain way, if you're built a certain way, you talk a certain way, use that to your advantage as much as possible. Now, once you've milked that, then move on and try something new.
Well, you mentioned stereotype, but it sounds a little bit like it's first impressions as well. So, you know, I see you walk past like, oh, this person is this type of person, and I'm going to expect certain things from him. Is that's what you're thinking when you're going through that process, is it?
Yes, I think my father always told me that you're judged by someone in the first 8 seconds of meeting them. And I think that's interesting. It's devastating in a way that someone will either befriend you or write you off within 8 seconds. And it's probably unfair because all of us at certain stages will be in a position of strength or vulnerability, depending on what's happened previously, you know, 5 minutes before, a day before. So perhaps there's lots of missed opportunities.
Yeah. So is that when you're looking at what roles you're thinking that you would like to do, is that something that comes to mind when you're looking at those parts? Or is that thinking too deeply?
At this point, I don't feel I have the luxury to really pick and choose. If I'm lucky enough for someone to trust me enough to fulfill a role and a part, then that's a blessing in itself. There's a lot that goes into it, and the more information you can source from just the world around you, the more solid you can. If you could carve a character out of wood, then you've got a solid base to work from. And I believe you need to love people, or the essence of people, to embody that correctly. And you have to be privy enough to stretch yourself to meet so many different people, or be in so many different environments. I've been very lucky that I've traveled a lot and lived with people who are very poor, and spent time with people who have great wealth. And to see the similarities between the two, work ethic, eating habits, you know, does a family sit down together and eat, and how does that reflect within, you know, their family or the community? All these different traits, and the more you open to different communities and societies and the way people live, I think the more you can put into a character and say, okay, how does this character view this subject?
So that's getting below the skin, below the stereotype, and actually getting right down into how these people might act.
Yes. Yeah. I think that, first of all, you have to make a broad stroke. So you have to pick a certain colour. But once you've done that, then you can start detailing and understanding this person in their entirety. But this is, it's a collaborative thing as well. If you're working closely with a writer or a director, and Hunter as a character, the script only lends a certain amount of information to work with. So you have to sit down and discuss and hash things out and see what's tangible, what works, what's fresh, what will be interesting, what builds conflict. All these factors make someone who they are.
And that, so that's something you've done with Hunter.
As much as possible. I would still like to do a lot more, personally. Mm. But time factors, everyone else is, as you know, everyone's so busy. To have the time to do that fully is not always available. So you have to work on your feet some of the time.
So, okay, yeah, I mean, it sounds to me as if there's an awful lot of thought processes that you're going through. And I'm not sure how much of that is now sort of starting to become natural for you. But how have you interpreted Hunter? I mean, what's your interpretation of Hunter as a character?
It's interesting. The way we shot, we shot a little, I'm going to say ass backwards, because I did a lot of my fight scenes and physical stuff, first of all, which I already had an idea of how Hunter should move and his posture within even fighting, and some earlier scripts that are not privy in this season, but information that I gathered from some of the material is he's the character who likes to stay under the radar, so all the movements are quite subtle, and, you know, more than being super direct, there's moments of directness with him. It's like tickling a bear. He'll keep on tickling until to find out the outcome. Is this bear gonna bite me, or is it gonna befriend me? I think there's that element of just pushing a line as far as he can. So that movement came into it, and hopefully the audience will see that demonstrated in the fights and in the character's general movement, that there is what's the correct word to use?
I suppose the way you're talking about it is as if he's definitely thought about what he's doing at all times. He's always in control of every action. Like, I guess there's a deliberateness to what he's doing.
I think there's caution there as well, but not caution based from fear, more from the more precise he can be, the cleaner he can be in and out of the situation. But then saying that, there's a fluidity to the movement. I don't think he's a very rigid character. He's got a bit of a slouch. He's got a bit of a bounce to him as well. And it's an interesting character because he has very dark moments, and then there's some very light, almost comical moments. And I guess that's going to be either developed or removed through editing, depending on how they choose to edit the character or enhance the character. So I'm quite eager to see which way he swings, because we do scenes many times, and for me, I enjoy to change the performance every time and try to bring something as fresh as possible to every take.
That gives a nice choice during the edit, I guess.
Hopefully. Sometimes it can be a pain, so I try not to go too drastic, but it's nice to try different things. And as we've been filming more and more scenes with more dialogue and emotion, some of the choices, once reading the script, I would have made previously, now I kind of hold a different standpoint that actually maybe this moment should be more like this, because we've already touched upon that. Let's try and find some new ground with this character and show something new to the audience, so it's not the same the same thing, trying to give it some more colour, a different level. And it's finding that within the script, why does this person feel about, you know, what's being said, what's happened, what's... I think more importantly than what you say, it's what the character hears the other character say. So it's the listening. I think that's far more interesting, to see what the impact of another person's line is on you, and how you negotiate that to get to your end goal. Because we all have a goal, we all have somewhere we're choosing to direct ourselves and other people, and how do we use what they're saying to manipulate our chosen outcome? And is that always what we really want, or is that something we're manufacturing?
Just remind me the sort of sets that Hunter's been on. It's mainly been the village, I think, but just could you remind me of what it's been involved in?
So we spent a good portion in the village in the later part of the story. Well, through the middle and the later part of the story, the majority of the scenes are based in the village. Previously, before then, we spent almost a week in Epping Forest filming, which was fun. It was a bit damp at the time.
That was the wet period, wasn't it?
That was, yeah, to say the least, the wet period. One day we actually lost completely because the weather just didn't allow us to cover anything. Mostly in the village, and then a little bit out in the greenery.
How did you find the village? I mean, the set itself, and also the process of filming on that set.
I have to say, Chris, Amanda, all the crew that have been involved in making the village, it's phenomenal. I was when it was finished and I walked onto set, I was like, wow, okay, amazing. And the set isn't huge, but within the world of Ren, the way they've used the set and the way they've shot it is incredible, and I believe the vastness of the set will become apparent once the project's complete. And I'm excited because I have a strong feeling it's going to be like Doctor Who's TARDIS. From the outside, it looks a certain side, but once you're within, then you're like, okay, this is huge, which I think is important as well for the audience, for people to watch. It just gives it a greater feel of scale.
You mentioned Amanda there, and she's been roaming around the set at all times looking for continuity and also doing set dressing. And that's been pretty key, because I think some parts of the set have been used more than once as different parts of the village.
Should I say correct or incorrect? Yeah, you're right, they have, which is amazing as well. They've been moving parts around, creating new sections from old sections, moving walls, taking walls away. I remember when I first came down to Ren Studios and saw part of the village, and pretty much it was a couple of boards and some wooden posts, and within a matter of weeks you had this living, breathing village that was, had hay and mud and all these amazing stores of trinkets all over them, fabrics, and then you had the extras in there, which we're so happy to have and grateful that they were willing to share their time with us, because I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without the support of them. So that's really important. So thank you all. But once you see all that happening and the hustle bustle, and actually getting the smoke in there, you'll notice that in Ren, actually you may or may not notice it. I think when you're watching, you probably won't be too aware of it, but if you look closely, you'll see the smog and smoke, and it really gives us, it's interesting, it gives it a really nice, surreal feeling, especially being on set. I'm so used to walking around and everything's pretty clear, but when you've got this haze, it certainly contains the energy in the environment and allows you to be drawn and swept away with what's happening.
You mentioned the extras. I think the extras are almost the unsung heroes in this at times. There's been so many extras being willing to come over at, you know, silly o'clock in the morning. And you said thank you. And I think you know, there's something a little bit special once you get that village full up with the extras and the props. smoke, and as you say, all the bits and pieces, and you almost walk onto it and go, I want to go and buy some potatoes. It's real. There's something about it.
Yeah. It's nice because of the scale of this. We've had, at least myself, I've had a little bit of time to interact and socialise and have a chat here and there as much as possible. Sometimes when you're working on a project, and I'm sure we're all guilty of this, there's so much, there's lines to learn, there's dialogue to stuff, and you have to go and hide away and prep yourself for a scene. But it's been nice to, we had the opportunity all to eat together and just spend some time together. And again, it's a huge thank you, because if they weren't willing to share their time with us and the production, we wouldn't be able to do it. It needs people.
You also talked about fighting. There's been quite a bit of fighting, and Ronin's been on set quite a lot. How have you found the fighting?
The fighting, Ronin is excellent. He's I'm a left-hander, so when I did my initial fighting training before, initially when I trained to fight, sword fight and etc., rapier and dagger, my training consisted of, they made me fight right-handed because that's necessary. I'm lucky enough to be a principal actor on this production, so and it's fantasy, so the history of fighting left-handed is null and void, so I'm allowed to fight left-handed, and Hunter as a character is not, he doesn't really follow the rules, so whatever works, and what's going to be the most efficient for him, that's what he's going to do, and that's what he's going to use. So it's not just one form of weapon, and the audience will see that. It's whatever's to hand at that moment. But Ronan's done an amazing job, and it's having eyes on the ground to see certain things. Stage combat or screen combat is completely different from training martial arts or boxing. I have a background in various disciplines. And in real world application, what you're taught is to attack, but not to be seen that you're attacking. That's the prerequisite of most martial arts. Boxing is to do things in a certain way that people don't have a chance to defend against them. Now, when you're doing screen and stage combat, you have to sell that moment to the audience. So it means making sure you're projecting that this cross is coming. And then you've got to cross a certain line, so the audience sees the contact of that blow or punch. So having someone there, and also having someone skilled and has the experience of knowing how these angles and how this process works correctly, and instead of them, you just turn up on set and someone goes, okay, well, we're going to do a punch or a slap here. Do we have a fight choreographer? No, you're just going to punch them or slap them. As great as that may sound, and that may be super method, and it's not really tangible, because you can't repeat that moment. You could do, but you're going to end up injuring someone, and personally, I don't choose to injure anyone unless it's intentional. And certainly when we're working and filming, it's about having everyone work in a capacity of safety and trust, because beyond just doing that, you've got to tell a story. That's why we're all here, to communicate story, so we're storytellers. So if a fight or an action is overboard, it may look great. Okay, I've actually hit this person. It looks fantastic. But have we been able to continue telling the story? Does it work for the story? And that's not necessarily always the case. So having someone like Ronan on board is vital. And also some of the other people may not have so much experience with weapons or swords or movement. And it's discussing with him what's correct for a certain weapon. You know, what's the right way to use it? What's the correct movement? And beyond that, there's at least for Hunter, the character, there's a few little tricks and bits and pieces that he performs that is quite, they're not necessary, let's say. So they're showing off. And without Ronan, I don't have the experience to come up with these things. So it's certainly nice when he goes, okay, well, you're going to be doing this today. And I'm like, okay, wow, you're going to make Hunter and myself look very cool by doing this. So it's appreciated on my side, definitely.
You also mentioned the forest, but how was the forest itself to shoot in? I mean, you had a pretty difficult time by all accounts, but how was it?
The when we finally got down to shooting, the weather had subsided. It still was quite damp and somewhat slippery, and the costume boots that we all have, they're quite similar, don't have the most amount of grip that you would really like. I must say they are extremely comfortable, and movement, etc. is fantastic. And I must give a shout out to Kim for making me these brilliant pair of trousers that Hunter wears that just gives me all the range of movement that I need to perform anything I could wish to do. If I could do the splits, then I could certainly do the splits in these trousers. They're amazing. But again, that comes down to characterization. If your costume fits in a certain way, you're going to move in a certain way, and that demonstrates itself within the character. So all these elements, what Miriam and her team have done is amazing. And all the costumes are fantastic, and I'm guilty of trying them all on as much as possible. I've been thinking most of the costumes apart from Ren's, really.
I couldn't help myself thinking of you dressed as Ren.
I've got the hair, but it's slightly different colour. But yeah, that's I'm not sure I need to put a long dress on. But some of the other stuff, I've certainly had some of Khan's costume on, and I've got a couple of pictures which I sent to Chris at the time when he was away filming another project. What I found through and through on this project is the collaboration. So when I came in for my fittings and we discussed, you know, where would Hunter's weapons be? Why are they there? And you'll see that he has a knife on his right side of his chest. And that just didn't happen to be there. That was through a discussion we had. What would be accessible? What would work? What could be subtle? And the discussion we had in short was, Hunter could have a conversation with someone, have his arms crossed as I have now with you, could be super subtle, could be super nice, and then within a second he'd have that knife on you. Just drawn straight away. So all these little things play into the character, and they are placed for a certain reason. In the past I've worked on projects where they'll give you a prop, they'll give you something, and it doesn't work the way you'd like it to work. And then it stretches reality, because I think everything should have its place. Everything should be in a way that you can use it. We all wake up in the morning and get dressed. And men all wear shoes, trousers, and a t-shirt or shirt of some form. But how do you choose to wear that? Where do you choose your trousers to sit on your body? Do you wear them high? Do you wear them low? Do you wear a belt? Do you like your trousers loose, tight fitting? And I think that's important in developing a character, because we all develop our own characters and we all have our own way of dressing and styling ourselves. And the more involved you can be on that involved in that stuff, the more you're getting to know that person yourself as well. But it works just as well when you're given a costume, because then you find meaning from that, you know. But I like to be involved. I like to be involved as much as possible.
So just going back to the forest then for a minute. How long were you in the forest? That was, what, 3 or 4 days, wasn't it?
I think we got there on a Sunday night and left on a Thursday evening.
I mean, obviously, we can't go into the detail of what was going on, but I'm guessing that there was chasing through the woods going on.
There was a lot of running and swinging of heavy, shiny objects, and then colliding with bone and skin and some yelps of people and sweat and, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so you had probably about 8 crew, and you had some soldiers down there with you as well. Did you manage to get a look at any of the shots that they were taking, and how did they look?
Indeed. This is something that that Kate is very willing to allow us to see some of the shots and actually see what the world looks like through the camera's lens. Because being on set and being on location is one thing. And once you get into costume, it's incredible, and you can start to understand the character and who they are. But when you see something through the camera's lens or the footage that's being captured, it takes on its own life. So we've been very lucky to have some of the cast members don't like to watch dailies or repeats or rushes, whatever you may call them. Personally, I find it interesting to see the performances from these people, how they're being projected through the camera's lens, what's being captured, what's being missed, how to improve on that. I'm not really conscious about, you know, do I look pretty in this scene or not? That's neither here nor there. It just is the story being told correctly. How can I improve it? So for me, it's helpful to see what's happening. But then other directors don't like you to see anything. So it's just the context of different people working different ways. I would like to see what's going on, just because then it just allows my imagination to access that area. If I've seen, okay, well, this forest scene looks like this, even if it looks different in the real world, I can put that veil over it and go, okay, well, it's going to look like this.
That's good. And you mentioned collaboration. I mean, it sounds like your experience of working with the production team and the cast and the crew has been a positive one for Wren. Is that fair?
I wouldn't really say it's a production team or it's more of a family now. We all eat together, we sleep together, we laugh so hard that, at least for me, could almost lose my bladder at some stage. Over the last 6 weeks, I've laughed so hard I can't remember previously before that I'd been on set and had such a giggle. Nick and myself have worked previously on a different project, a project called Artificial Conceal, which we're actually posed against each other, which in essence, in some part of this, we are as well. And it just so happened I went on a shopping run and I decided to pick up a couple of lightsabers to play with and some Nerf guns, and that spiraled into something that's I don't want to say out of control, because I've been having so much fun, but even last night we're all running around with these Nerf guns, letting off steam and just interacting with each other and having fun. And I think that's extremely important as well. We're spending so much time together, it's important to be able to have a giggle. And who do you get to do that with, really? Lots of my friends and peers and family members wouldn't dream of playing with lightsabers and Nerf guns. But the whole family here, they're up for getting into it. So I'm all about that, really.
So it's going to be a bittersweet moment in a couple of weeks when things grind to a halt and all the shooting's complete.
I'd rather not discuss it, really. It certainly will be. The idea I'm hanging on to is season two and us all being reunited and that, more than anything. The idea of it all coming to an end is quite an unpleasant one, really. I think more so for Kate, because she's been here every day from the start. So I think she's going to probably find life quite quiet once everything's been wrapped and done.
What attracted you to something like Wren in the first place?
I guess being a boy, what young man, or maybe that's the wrong thing to say, but at least from my point of view, what young man or young boy doesn't want to be riding around on horses, swinging swords around, being, you know, testy, heroic, you know, opinionated, whatever it may be. I'm trying not to give any spoilers away. Who wouldn't want to do that? I think we've all, you know, at least I have, wanted to be Peter Pan or Indiana Jones. You know, the excitement of Star Wars and all these epic films and characters and people, and being involved in that is a dream come true, really. Yeah, I did have a bit of a giggle playing a character named Hunter, because it says it all, really. It's quite a stereotypical name as well, because just the name tells you all about the character already, what kind of person he is. Yeah. Because yes, he is a hunter, but it certainly brings out, yeah, it's a little cliche in ways, but I like that.
Now that Wren's nearly over, is it a genre that you'd like to do more work in? sort of fantasy adventure.
Yes, yes, and yes. There's certain things that you get to do in fantasy and adventure that you just don't get to do in any other form of performance. The use of animals, horses, swords. Yeah, it's a privilege to do that. To answer your question, is fantasy adventure something? Yeah, I think it's something, it tests you in many different ways. Earlier today, I was riding a horse bareback, and that's the first time I've ridden a horse bareback.
Is that just what you do when you get up?
That seems to be, certainly when I'm working with the team at Wren, yes, and that's exhilarating. I wish my life was always so exciting. As exciting London is a city, like anything, life can become humdrum. But when you're on set and you're lucky enough to be involved in something like this, you're always doing something new. Ronan's handing you a sword and said, look, we've got 20 minutes. Let's put together a fight routine and we got to shoot it. And you've got to make sure it looks real and you're gasping for oxygen and it's hard and it's vicious. I think that's a skill in itself. That's something I think is exciting. It could be a little bit daunting at times, learning something so quickly and then performing it. But then I think it's also exhilarating, and they're the moments I certainly live for, because they stretch you and challenge you as a person, as an actor, as just the entity in this world.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Duran, and I'm pretty sure that most of the listeners, as well as myself, can't wait to see you on screen, see the whole thing finished. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.